Title of the message today. So, and not only the title, but one of the examples I was going to give. Because my daughter called me, and the one in Charleston, Megan, called me and said, "Do you know what's happening as a result of Erica Kirk forgiving the man who murdered her husband?" And I'm not on the internet. I don't do Twitter. I don't do Instagram. I don't do all those things that most people do. So as a result, I don't hear from my grandkids because they're all on Twitter, Instagram, all those things that I'm not on. So I don't hear these things. But she had told me the story of Tim Allen and how moved he was and how there are multiple people who are being moved by her forgiveness. Amen. Of the man, that lost soul who took her husband's life. And I'm going to get to the rest of the message, but I want to share this first because you know, when we lose a giant in the faith, it's sad. You know, we won't hear their voice again. We can go on the internet and we can look at all the ways that Charlie Kirk ministered to people, where places he spoke and all that. But this week we lost another giant in the faith. Vodi Bakum passed away, 56 years old. Vodi Bakum. I found him, you know, when we were in lockdown, when we were in lockdown, I found a lot of people online. He was one of them. A very powerful speaker, but had the stature for that power in his speech. He was a big man with a very big voice and a very big message. He's got quite a story for how he came to faith. He was raised by a single Buddhist mom in South Central LA. And he came to faith by some, you know, very faithful. He was a big football player. I don't even remember what college he went to, but two football players led him to the Lord and discipled him. And look at what a blessing he ended up being to so many. I watched him all during the pandemic. He had so much to say about the deception of social justice and wokeness and all of that. And the wonderful thing is that we can still listen to him online. He was the dean of African Christian College in Zambia for 10 years. Most of his kids grew up in Zambia. And what I was so grateful for, he passed away on Thursday. And what I was so grateful for is after I saw the new moon last night, I sat down and I listened to one of his last messages that was given at a college out in Idaho called New St. Andrews College. And you can find it online. And it's I think it's called Confronting a World Who Has Rejected God or something like that. And just to hear his voice and see him like 10 days before the Lord took him home was a blessing. Still just as powerful, very gentle spirit. For a big guy and a big message, a very gentle spirit. So I rejoice with his family. He's got a lot of young kids. He has 9 kids from the ages of 35 to 12. 3 grandchildren. He was waiting for 50 grandchildren. But, you know, it is, you know, they're in glory. And I love the way the people, I don't think it was his wife, it was a ministry that he stays connected to. They said he has left the land of the dying and has entered the land of the living.
That's right.
Do you love that? Do you love that? I love that. I love that. He has left the land of the dying and has entered the land of the living. Praise God for that. So, yeah, I was going to talk about forgiveness because it is an important concept. And I think I'm preaching to the choir here. We know that when we forgive, it releases us from bitterness, from torment, yes, from torment. And it is a healthy thing besides the fact that Yeshua said this as he taught the prayer that we say every Shabbat. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then he went on to say this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And years ago, when we looked at the Lord's Prayer, and we also looked at the Shepherd's Psalm at the same time, Psalm 23, one of the books I used was 21 Seconds to Change Your World. And I used a quote from that particular book, and it was this. It's how most of us say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, or our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And what if we said it in this way? This is from 21 Seconds to Change Your World. Lord, forgive my sins only to the extent that I forgive others who sin against me. Forgive my sins only to the extent that I forgive others who sin against me. That says it all right there. So if you don't quite understand, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you have a little trouble understanding that, here it is. Lord, forgive my sins only to the extent that I forgive others who sin against me. Very powerful translation of that scripture. And there are the older translations that use the word debt. And one of the things that I had remembered that in those translations that have Yeshua saying, forgive us our debts as we forgive the debts of others, those who owe us, I like that when that word is used, it's in the context that we cancel that debt, just as our debt is canceled and we release any hope of repayment. How could we ever pay the debt of our sins? We cannot. And so we use all of that as the example of us moving forward. And, you know, one of the things that I was going to remind you of, I hope many of you would remember this, before I got to the Tim Allen example, which has already been given. I don't know how many of you remember 7 years ago when Ralph Grasso was killed by a drunk driver. And poor Jackie was just beside herself. She was in such a state. And on her own, on her own, she understood that she needed to forgive that man who caused that car accident. There were a lot of reasons why she was not willing to do that, because he was driving under the influence, just like Tim Allen's situation. But she was struggling so to move past his death. And I remember when she called me and said that she had forgiven the man who drove that truck that caused the accident in which Ralph died. And that day, she came up, and she doesn't like to speak in public, but she came up and gave her testimony of forgiving that man. And I remember the response of everyone that was here. If I remember correctly, all were on your feet, because that was a hard thing for her to do, because it was still so raw. It was still so raw. And I played that song by Matthew West, Forgiveness. It's a beautiful song. And that song was written because of a situation, the same thing. A drunken driver killed a young girl. And that song was written as a result of that. So, you know, every time we think we can't forgive, think of what some people have been able to rise up and forgive. And, you know, in the world of Judaism, that's part of what these 10 days of awe are. It's about going to someone who has wronged you or you have wronged and asking forgiveness. That's part of the process of teshuvah, repentance. But we know that no matter how many times we forgive another, no matter how many times we ask forgiveness of another, that doesn't take the place of the precious blood of Yeshua covering our sins. Sadly, in the Jewish world, part of why they do this is in the hopes that their name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life for a good year. And so I'm going to ask that, just as we prayed this morning for Israel, that we continue our prayers. And we will be praying again, probably on Kol Nidre and on Yom Kippur. We will be praying for Israel. Because who are we to have some special service when more than half of Israel will die in their sins? I think that We have that forgiveness. We have that Kippurah, which they do not have. And so I believe that a good chunk of our time will be praying for the Spirit of God to move upon the hearts of the Jewish people, wherever they reside, whether it's Israel, whether it's in the nations. And of course, we'll pray for the nations as well. But this is their time to do whatever they can, keeping their fingers crossed that their names would be written. Doesn't that just pierce your heart? Doesn't that just grieve your spirit? How could we not spend this season praying, standing in the gap for our brethren, that they would seek God's forgiveness through the blood of His Son? We got a lot of nerve if we go about the structure of our services and think that's Dayenu, that's enough. We got a lot of nerve. We need to be standing in the gap for the unsaved, for the lost souls. There's tons of them. Yeshua said, narrow is the gate and few are those who find it. Wide is the gate to destruction. And many are walking through that gate every day. So that is what we will be doing And I did forget to confirm that you will do Kol Nidre on Kol Nidre. Judy, thank you. Okay. So I do want to tell you that I understand that, you know, there are so many who have followed the example of Erica Kirk and have forgiven those who they have hated, those who they have blamed for, you know, the death of a parent or a brother. I saw a video of a young man just yesterday of a young man. It was posted on Twitter, so somebody had to send it to me. And it was a man who tried to find his brother's killer so that he could personally say to him, I forgive you. He was unable to find it, so he posted it on Twitter. I think he might have used the man's name. But the man killed his brother. It sounded like it was in a bar, and he punched him in a fight. It wasn't a brawl, it was a fight. Did you see it? Did somebody see? Okay. And that's what it was, and the young man died as a result. And this man, the brother, had harbored this anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred. And we know that when we harbor that, we just bind ourselves up. We bind ourselves up. And when we can share that with someone who has some unforgiveness, our president is one. Shortly after Erica forgave her husband's killer, our president got up and said, well, she can forgive, but I can't forgive my enemies. We need to pray that he would receive Yeshua as his covering. That's the only way you can forgive your enemies, is when Yeshua's blood is over your heart. That's the only way. So I wanted to bless you today with a video. Yeah, maybe we need to close some curtains so that you can see it clearly. The video is more than just Erica Kirk forgiving her husband's killer. How many of you know who Kim Clement is? Raise your hand if you know who Kim Clement is. Okay. So you don't need me to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I guess for this, I don't know, any of this probably won't come out on the, oh, it will? Okay. So it'll come out on what's put up on the, Kim Clement, years ago, he died in 2016, but years ago, way before 2016, I think it was 2012, maybe somewhere around there, where he prophesied that Trump would be president. And he didn't come right out and say, it was like you could understand what he was saying. But what he said was that Trump would serve two terms. And of course, when Trump didn't win in 2020, everybody said, well, you know, that's just what we thought, he's a false prophet. Because I've already heard that, you know, when I've showed this video to a few people. He's a false prophet. Well, he wasn't, because he is serving a second term. So, Lance Wallnau was very good friends with Kim Clement. And somehow, I don't know whether he remembered this video or I don't know what. But I remember someone had sent it to me and I made the mistake of listening to it in the car. Because when the Spirit of God came through Kim Clement's mouth, it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I started shaking so bad I could hardly drive. But what a powerful prophecy. 2011, keep in mind, 2011. So can you go, because that's, is that the very first, like, are you back at 00? No, 00.